thing about that, it's not only standing on our own faith, but it's also the faith. One of the things that, in just listening and thinking about this is, we talk about idolatry, but our view of God is so often incorrect. One of the things that we've been tracing through today in all of Joshua's experience is the fidelity to the true and living God and his sovereignty over all circumstances. How do you survive 40 years of complaining people and keep a vision? Is that you've really known the promises of God. We have in our own hearts of idolatry, our hearts are factories for idols. We've created and crafted God in our own image sometimes, and we only see God in this way. And so when adversity comes or difficulty comes or situations comes, we're ready to jump ship. The reality is it's not only not the faith of our fathers and not our own faith, as much as those are important, but it must be bounded on the faith, what has been once delivered, the true revelation of who God is as it is in his word. Because without that, we're going to be still, you know, looking at situations and circumstances and not seeing God's sovereign rule over those circumstances. Because from my natural view, this is adversity. This is calamity. This is bad. But if I understand who God really is, and in Hebrews, the problem and the lesson learned from all of Israel is they weren't able to come into that land, that first generation, because it wasn't coupled with faith. And this is what we're talking about. It's the faith that really believes God for who he is as he has revealed himself, not as we make him out to be.
Wondering if I can add the thought. The brethren have been talking about the idols. And definitely we have an answer in 1 Corinthians 10, flee from idolatry. But I just want to brought our attention that before the Spirit of God brings the negative aspect, he always provides us first with something that is better. And I think we need to take hold of that truth. In verse 13, he says, listen, you are coming into an inheritance. You did not build, you did not plant, you did not labor. That's the beauty of Christianity. God has given us all these wonderful things. But you know what? The enjoyment of it is conditional. See, they have the land. They're coming into all these things that they have nothing to do with it. It was God's provision. But verse 14 is the conditional part. Is that ye shall fear the Lord. And I think that thought of fearing is very important to take hold of, because we are very familiar with the thought of reverence. That's wonderful. But in language of New Testament, piety is someone who has God as his object. Someone that has God as his object. And when we have God as our object, and when we have him as the one who we fear, we reverence, but also recognizing that he has rights over me to do whatsoever he wills, the second exhortation is really to serve with perfectness or completeness. The Christian service, dear brethren, is not only in the assembly. We fail. Sometimes we think that we're going to do service when we come amongst God's people. The perfection of service is when the Christian understands that our service for him is 24/7. Wherever we are, whatever circumstances, it is our responsibility to bring service. But a word of as for me and my house. You see, he was able to bring his house into the same exercise of serving the Lord. A word of exhortation to children. You know what? Sometimes the Lord has entrusted us with children, and many of us will struggle. But it is good exhortation that, dear children, it is you who will make your parents exercise works as a household. And how wonderful and important to bring our children in the fear of the Lord, but for the children to take it to heart that they have the ability to enhance the desire of the parents, but also they have the ability to hinder the desire of parents. As for me and my house, Joshua was in the good that he was able to influence his household to serve along with him. And for us that those might be going through difficulty, never lose sight of God's promises. Hold them fast to it. Because love, the love of God, desire to secure the whole household. And let's put our trust and confidence in him, that he is able to change hearts so that we can all rehearse at the end of the journey, I and the children whom thou hast given me.
John, does he not, on the me first? As for me, he could not add and my house quite yet if there was not that personal sense of influence that God, that he had felt from the experiences with God. As for me. And then he could couple his house because he knew the example that he had left to his household, that he had set the tone for the household. The question might well be asked, where is my household? What is the characteristical feature of my household presently? Have I left an influence there? As for me and my house, there was just such certainty. It's beautiful to see that the feelings of Joshua, I think, come out here in a very deep way, deep sense. He had gone through the experience, and he now is able to touch base with what affects the heart of God. A man committed to God who commits his house to God. I'm reminded of Asaph. You know, he uses a similar expression in Psalm 73. He doesn't add, and my house. He says, as for me. You remember Asaph had gone through the experiences of looking at the world around him and seeing the unrighteous man prospering and the righteous man is suffering. And it says, it wasn't until God took me into his sanctuary that I understood God. And then he says, as for me, I'm prepared to walk with God.